Nisiyem, Nisiyaya, Thikum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, Nisiyem, Nisiyaya, and the Skakhlia, Talitin, Homer Scream, Mustail.
BC Culture Days announces its inspiring series of community events presented by artists and cultural organizations spanning across British Columbia from September 22nd to October 15th, 2023. BC Culture Days is a network of over 350 diverse events, all aimed at showcasing the artistic and cultural essence of over 50 participating communities. All events are free or pay what you may, including a variety of events for all ages. And anyone from grassroots community volunteers, public libraries and independent artists, to major arts, culture and heritage institutions can register Culture Days events as long as the events are participatory and free or pay what you may to attend. Event registration is open until September 22nd at 9 p.m. To find out more, visit culturedays.ca and follow at BC Culture Days on Facebook, Instagram and X, formerly known as Twitter.
Students of UBC, join us. Join the SSN, a collaboration between the C4 Choral Composition Club and the Music Production Club. With us, you can find someone with whom to collaborate, someone with whom to make music. All skill levels welcome. SSN at gmail.com. Reach out. Together, we can make music. Join us.
Discover Noreen Braun's album, Songs for Trees, dedicated to the forests and the spirits within the trees. As we fight climate change, trees are the lungs of the planet and we need to help them. Her jazz and blues are blended with rock and synthesized pop elements to create a textured and ambient soundtrack to nature. Songs for Trees is a narrative, with each song guiding us through a journey through the forest, a trip. Literally and metaphorically about the interconnectedness of all things. The Vancouver Sun names it one of five albums you need to hear. Find out more at noreenbraun.com.
Known pimp, narcotics king, big time racketeer, back in full force.
This could be one of the big moments in your life. Don't make it your last.
Look, this thing might be bigger than even we think it is.
Do you need an upgrade to the soundtrack to your life? Perhaps a song from a film or a tune from TV? My name is Gap. Exploding Head Movies is here to give you sounds from the cinema, along with the songs that will be defining your future. Those forgotten classics that need a little rescue.
Yeah. Come on, baby. Come on. I won't let you down. Follow me.
Exploding Head Movies. Monday, 7 to 9 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jeff, and welcome back to another episode of Lean In with Jeff. Today, we have a guest, a very special guest today, to discuss a movie. So without further ado, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, amazing. I'm Randy, and I've been on the show many times before. I recently graduated UBC, so I've moved back to Florida now, but I did my degree in gender studies, and I always enjoy coming to either t- talk about how much I love movies, or more importantly, how much I hate certain movies with Jeff.
Yeah. Welcome back, Randy. How are you?
I'm pretty good today. Yeah. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. It's a bit chilly today. It seems like it's going to rain. I think it did rain in the morning, but it has been pretty hot lately in Vancouver.
Nice. Yeah, it's been relatively hot in Alberta too. It's finally starting to cool down, which is super nice. So hopefully it won't get too cold though too soon, because I need to ease my way back into Alberta winters.
Yeah. How was your summer? Were you in Alberta the whole time?
I was, yeah. It was really good. It was nice to just relax, but also simultaneously decide what I'm going to do with the rest of my life, which is every recent grad's favorite thing to do.
Yeah. Did you go anywhere, or did you just kind of stay where you were?
I got to go to Chicago. My dad and I went there for about a week, and we just went to baseball games. We went to a Cubs series and a White Sox series. It was amazing. Chicago is such a beautiful city, and I love baseball in the summertime. It's my favorite thing.
Yeah, I actually kind of want to visit Chicago as well. I visited Toronto this summer, and
Nice. Next
time I want to go to New York and then hopefully go to Chicago and all these other fun cities.
Yeah, I definitely recommend it. Toronto's super fun, and I think if you like Toronto, you'll like Chicago. And I can't speak for New York, but I feel like there's enough songs and movies that speak for it anyways.
Yeah. Speaking of all those movies, today we chose a movie called Beautiful Disasters. It's not a movie that I can say now that we both particularly enjoy watching. But I read the reviews, but it seems like for people who read the book series, because apparently this movie was originally in like a book and then they made it into a movie, those people especially didn't really enjoy the movie. For me, even as a person who didn't even read the movies, it was a weird movie to watch.
Yeah. yep.
Yeah, no, it was... I think the first thing I noticed was how fast the pacing was for the movie. It seemed a bit awkward, and it was almost like the whole movie plot was so rushed, and you don't really get a chance to learn about the characters as much as you should, which makes the whole storyline like unfitting. How did you find the movie?
Yeah, I mean, I am one of the people who read the book, but I read it so long ago that it's like a passing memory. Like I kind of got deja vu when I watched the movie, because I was like, this seems familiar. And then I like Googled the title and I was like, oh, this is a book I read. So I probably read this book when I was like 15 or 16. Like I said, I don't super remember it, but it's probably not like an amazing book. I'm not saying it's bad or anything, because again, I don't remember it, but I was immediately struck, similar to what you said, Jeff, like it's so fast. Like the beginning of this movie, there's no like intro, or there's no like development of when the characters meet. It's just like she arrives at university and then boom, the story starts. Like it's so immediate that it's sort of jarring, because you're like waiting for us to like get to like for the as a viewer you're waiting to like get to know the characters, and then you like get into the story, and this movie just doesn't do that. It doesn't mess around with that at all. And yeah, I feel like the pacing is just it's so weird. And then, you know, we have like the center of the movie, which is like them interacting, so Travis and Abby. And then we have like the actual like, you know, climactic tension of the novel. I mean, in addition to all of the other drama that they bring into the movie, for the last like 15 minutes, and then the movie's just over. So it never felt like you could like get comfortable in your seat and just like kick back and watch, because you're constantly just like, I don't understand why this is happening.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. The fact that they just started it off by ignoring, Abby's past, it was kind of like, who is the dad? And the dad only came out, or even mentioned, the dad coming out as like physically and even being mentioned verbally in total was like twice. So yeah. the whole relationship between Abby and her dad is so vaguely represented in the movie that you can't really predict, like, okay, how bad was their relationship? Like, was Abby, I almost felt like, okay, is Abby tired of doing, like, playing poker? Or is she tired of her dad messing around and making bad bets? Or does she just want to start a new life? Like, what exactly is her whole issue and how big is it? You can't really tell because there's nothing is explained. All you know about her is that she was this great. It doesn't even say actually how great of a poker player she was. It's so like briefly mentioned. Like, how good were you? Like, were you good enough to have people recognize you and, you know, like this whole star? It's not even like that. And if she was, she'd get in trouble because she was underage. So it was so weird how that was presented in the movie.
Yeah, I feel that same thing. Also, before I watched the movie, I watched a video essay from one of my favorite YouTube creators, which is Kenny JD. And they have a series, Bad Movies in a Beat. And they did a video on this. I highly recommend to anyone listening to watch this video because it's super entertaining. And they like pointed out the same thing. They were like, how is she like this amazing, so famous poker player? Like, her dad should be in jail if that's the case. Like, how is everyone just like, I don't get how you can be like a very iconic, famous, like 13-year-old poker player. Like, that to me, that just like, it doesn't, it's so fictional that it kind of just like takes you out of the story. Like, obviously this is a fictional movie, it's a fictional book, but it's just, it's kind of so outlandish that it's like, I don't really get the point. Other than to like develop, she has this like secret skill, and then obviously it leads to like the climactic point of the movie where like she thinks her dad's gonna die, so she has to play for all this money. And then, okay, I think I've already spoiled lots of it, but this is like a major spoiler. The twist of the movie is that she finds out her dad actually played her and just wanted the money for himself. So I totally agree. Like, it's weird that they really build up. I think they're trying to like draw you in as a viewer to be like, oh, you have to wait and see like how all of this plays out, because we get like little tidbits about her relationship with her father. Not much with her mother. Like, that's not part of it at all. And then, you know, we finally find out like what type of guy her dad is at the very end. But yeah, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, I feel like this movie is trying to be everything. It's trying to be like a mystery, an action movie, a romance movie, a drama movie. And it ends up just being kind of like a mess.
I actually want to talk about the point you made, how they wanted to kind of mash everything together. That was one of the problems when I was watching the movie, is that what was the main idea that they were trying to carry out in the movie? Was it the fact that she was a prodigy and so she wanted to live this different life? Or was it the fact that was it the romance portion of it with her and Travis? Was it the relationship between, like, was it, you know, try the attempt to repair the relationship between her and her father? It was just everywhere. So you didn't get any deep details on any part of it. And which is funny because I read the reviews and they mentioned a lot about the comedy aspect of the movie. The only time where I felt about the comedy was because of how ridiculous the movie was flowing.
Yeah.
Like, the romance was so, so fast and so awkward because it's just, like, Abby just says that, she, you know, Travis is not good for him, good for her. And then they just, you know, fall in love. And the way that they fast forward the 30 days, I honestly thought that the majority of the movie was going to be based on the 30 days where she spent at Travis's place. But it just skipped like 2 to 3 scenes. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, where do you find the buildup of their love? You know, it's just kind of weird.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like this is like, if I could describe this movie, like, just like how it, like, the timeline of it, it's like if you took a mini series and you condensed it into 90 minutes. Like, that's what it felt like. It felt like multiple different episodes of a show happening so quickly. Like, it was like the first half was like the relationship between Abby and Travis, but then, oh, we have the drama and the relationships between Abby and her dad. Like, it was almost like two different plots, and they like finished one and then they went to the other one. Instead of like actually like, you know, like a good romance would like, it would mix them together. So like the, you know, the overarching plot, the main plot of the movie would be like the relationship developing between the two main characters. And then you would have like, you know, a side plot that might like revolve around the drama of like Abby's relationship with her father. Or in some cases it could be like the main tension of the book. But in that case, you can't have that much drama and tension with the relationship because the tension is coming from this side plot. So it just, it felt like too many. It's like they just, it's like when I saw this on TikTok, I don't know if it's true, but this person said that like when Indiana Jones was created, they wanted to create an action movie with like a lot of action. So you weren't supposed to go more than like 15 to 20 minutes without like an action scene. It felt like this movie, they were like, okay, we can't go more than like 10 to 20 minutes without absolute drama.
Yeah, no, you're right. There was a lot of bits of dramatic scenes that weren't very necessary. I personally don't even know why Parker was in the movie. It seemed very random. Like, he comes out as a very sensitive, good guy. And the interaction with Parker and Abby is just like, yeah, they go on a date, casual. It's almost like Abby's trying to get her life together by being with someone that she thinks is good for her, which Parker seems like he is, but there was like, she didn't even learn anything from him. So what was the point of putting Parker in the movie if he didn't have any sort of impact in the way Abby was thinking about how she should live her life? I think it was so funny. Also, the scene where Parker was so terrified of Travis, it's just so, who is Travis? Who is this guy? He's just a fighter.
Yeah, he's just a guy.
Yeah.
I really agree with your point that like, what is the point of Parker? And also to me, it made Abby look horrible.
Yeah.
Like, it made her look so, like, because she's supposed to, like, her character is supposed to be everything. She's supposed to be naive, but she's also supposed to be, like, very sexy and promiscuous. Like, she's supposed to have all of these characteristics. And so at the end, she just ends up being, like, a bad person. Like, most of her actions are just, like, they're so, like, selfish. But they're not even selfish because, you know, when she's like, oh, I'm going to date Parker while I'm sleeping in Travis's bed, which, number one, that's weird. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very strange. It's also a very small bed.
How Travis would even allow that to happen and how Parker's okay with it. It's just so, yeah, go on. It's weird.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing, right? Like, Travis would never have any say in her life. But even if they were dating, then it's like the conversation, you know, it's implied that if you're dating, unless you've had a different conversation, you're now exclusive. But she's like, oh, I'm not dating you. I'm just sleeping in your bed. Like, the whole context of the relationship between Abby and Travis in the beginning, to me, just makes no sense. Like, you can tell that they're trying to, like, build up tension between them. But it just makes Abby look so, like, dumb and terrible when she's like, oh, I'm going to keep trying to date Parker and, like, lead him on. While also having this like very weird messed up relationship with Travis. Like, I don't know, like the whole thing just feels like it's super messy. And it just, I don't think it plays out to really show, like, I even think Tessa, okay, I'm going to bring it to After because I feel like you can't watch this movie and not think about After.
I did watch After. I watched, yeah, it did come up. I watched After 1 and 2 and I didn't watch 3 because I just couldn't handle it.
Yeah. They're like small doses.
Yeah, but it's,
I feel like even Tessa, I think that's her name, Tessa, mm-hmm. in After, her character makes more sense than Abby.
Yeah.
Because she plays up the naivete like way better. Like, that's her character, is like she truly is naive to the world. Whereas Abby is like, we know she's not naive because she's grown up her entire life in Vegas. I don't think you leave Vegas and are like naive to the way world, you know, parts of the world work. So anyways, I just like, and also like the very first scene where she like, they go to the underground fight ring, whatever, which super weird thing to take your new friend or old friend. Again, we don't even know how she knows the other girl that she's living with.
Yeah, I know.
That's never explained to us.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like a very, like, it's like, welcome to university. Let me take you to an underground fight tonight. Like,
yeah.
It's so strange. And then, like, immediately, so she, like, meets Travis. He's fighting, and she gets sprayed with stuff
blood
in the fight. And then
yeah,
she, we're supposed to believe that she's, like, so turned on by
it. I know. It's so
and, like,
weird.
It's just, yeah, but yet she's supposed to be this, like, naive schoolgirl. Like, I don't know. Anyways, I'm going to stop ranting, but I just feel like her character is a big mess.
No, no, keep on ranting. That was a great point. That part was when I laughed, is when the dramatic music came on and she was covered in blood. It's not even Travis's. And I'm like, what is she doing? Like, what's going through her mind right now? And I love how you pointed out how there was zero mention on her best friend. I actually want to say, what kind of, because there's always, in those movies, there's always that best friend. Usually that best friend is a good influence or is almost like a counselor to the main character. It's like, well, if something happens to the main character would rant to the best friend. The best friend would give the main character some critical advice, but it
mm-hmm.
usually takes some time for the main character to realize that the best friend was giving the best advice that she, whoever could give. This best friend seemed like a terrible influence, if not zero, like had zero influence on how Abby was operating in her school life and in her personal life. It was so weird. And there wasn't even, there were zero scenes where Abby would ever go to her best friend and talk about serious issues, other than that one time where she told her that she kissed Travis. And I'm like, okay, that's so, that's like the tip. That's not even the tip of the iceberg. Like, what do you, there's nothing going on between them.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never seen like the sassy best friend character ever played so like that. That is not a diss against the actress. I don't know anything about her. I'm also just going to say it, like, I feel like none of the actors in this movie are actually terrible. The movie itself is terrible.
Like, yeah, yeah.
The dialogue, the writing, the pacing, like, I don't even think an Oscar-nominated actor could really, like,
yeah,
give it their all in this movie. But the character of the friend, like, the best friend in this movie, simply just exists. Like, she doesn't move the plot forward. She doesn't actually, like, you know, help Abby in any way overcome adversity, or like you're saying, Jeff, like the role is typically like, oh, you like confess your feelings and then you have this like big talk and you get advice from your best friend. And it's almost like she's just there to like either relieve tension when it's needed or like add comedic relief. Cause we get that like in the scene of Abby's birthday party where she like, her friend and her are drinking, and then her friend breaks up with her long-term boyfriend. And then like very like dramatically makes up with him. Like it's kind of just like, it doesn't do much. Like it's just like side entertainment for both Abby and Travis and then also the viewer. But yeah, it's similar to Parker. It's like, why is she there? Like none of the side characters in this movie actually did anything. The only one
yeah.
that did anything was her father by being like the antagonist at the very end of the film.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. The side characters didn't do anything to Abby at all. She just ended up doing what she wanted at the end, which was being with Travis. That was also one of the things that I was like, wait, there's no character development at all. It's almost like she just went to one problem and on to the next. And that's how the
mm-hmm.
movie ended. Because she, I mean, it doesn't even really say how Travis is a toxic person, too. He's just a normal college student that just fights for his tuition money. That doesn't seem
yeah.
like super toxic, or he's not doing any drugs, or he's not, you know, an alcoholic, or he's not, I mean, there's this one scene where he does hook up with this one girl, but like, okay, yeah. They made it seem so, like, they made it seem like he was some sort of bad dude, but it just seems like he's just a normal college dude trying to figure out how he can pay his tuition. And yeah. You know, all the ways that he could do it, he just chose fighting. And then, you know, Abby's like, oh no, he's a terrible influence. And then the whole movie is just Abby ignoring Travis, and then later on just be like, ah, whatever, I'll just be with him.
Yeah.
It's yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're completely right. Abby has zero character development in this movie. It's like the plot is just this happened, then this happened, then this happened. Sometimes they even tell you what happened. Like, I love the scene where Abby takes her cash to pay her tuition.
Oh, yeah.
And then she tells her friend that she paid her tuition in cash. Mm-hmm. It's like, we just saw that. We didn't need you to
that's
tell
true.
Us that. Yeah.
That's so
again,
funny.
I'm not like an... Yeah, it was. Honestly, there were times I was convinced this movie was a parody. Like, I was like, this movie cannot be, like, serious. It cannot be real.
No, it was,
and I
yeah.
think the... Yeah, the scene that, like, put me over the edge of that was actually at the end of the film when Travis comes to Vegas to confront Abby for leaving. And then they have this, like, very weird, like, they're, like, making out very hard and, like, throwing each other around the hotel room. Like, mm-hmm. basically, like, mock fighting, but it's supposed to be in, like, I guess, like, a sexy way. But it ends up just being super weird and over the top.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like, it's so bad. I can't, like, it is so bad. I have no idea how they filmed it and put it in there, so I'm just, like, convinced that it's supposed to be funny.
I think this movie is rated R, right? I think so. Yeah, no, I think it is.
Be.
I think they tried so hard to make it that way because it just seemed like they didn't really need to do it like that to make it all sexy and all, like... You know, like hot and like a lot of tension. I feel like it would have been better if they just went a bit more serious and had less
yeah.
of those sexual activities. It's not
yeah.
it's not even about the activity. It's about how they did it. It seemed so like rough and it's
yeah.
like why would you yeah because when I think the Travis and the last one where he threw her on the wall or something and the glass broke or something, it's
yeah
I'm like, whoa, yo, is she okay? It seems
yeah it's so yeah like we're supposed to. Have you ever seen the movie Mr. and Mrs. Smith?
No, it's the one with Will Smith though, right?
No, it's
oh no, is it Brad Pitt?
Angelina Jolie. Yeah, Angelina
oh.
Jolie and Brad Pitt.
Yeah no, I haven't.
So it's yeah, it's. I highly recommend it. It was like my favorite movie when I was a teenager. I still enjoy it.
Oh, really?
But it's like it has like a kind of like enemies to lovers, lots of tension, you know, that type of vibe to the relationship. So there's a scene where they're like, I don't want to spoil it, but they're like fighting because of their jobs, and the fighting leads to like intimacy. But that scene
oh,
makes
okay.
sense. Like if
yeah.
you watch it. I really think you should watch it this like soon or whatever and let me know what you think, because I think like that's a good example of when you're trying to have that like you're angry and then it like comes out in like intimacy. But in this movie it just plays out so badly that it makes them just look like it's awkward. And again, like the way it's shot, I don't really get too into it because I know we're on the radio, but for anyone curious, just like go watch this movie and even just watch this scene. Because it's, you just have to understand how bad it is. Like, I don't even think I could describe it with words.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just, it's like that just kind of set me over the edge where I was like, is this actually a parody? Like, I was convinced that at the very end, they were all going to like laugh out, you know, start laughing and be like, ha ha ha. This is like a funny movie we made to like make fun of movies like after. And I'd be like, yeah.
No, this didn't seem like a serious movie at all, although it had a lot of serious topics. It started off with, you know, Abby with her family problems, Travis with his also like his absence of his mother didn't seem mm-hmm. like it was a huge influence on him, but it probably was. That wasn't mentioned at all, like so small. all he did was tell Abby that his mom passed away. Even in that scene, Abby made a joke about it. And then that was the end of it. And then Abby doesn't even mention, like barely mentions her mother, just her father, none of that. And then they just go straight into falling in love. And she, you know, I don't even know how the people, like, how... It was just so fast because when the person came to find Abby at her school, like, oh, yeah, my, you know, it's about your father. It was like, where did he come from? It's just out of nowhere. It's usually when that happens is when Abby's life is going great, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
Everything was just piling on top of each other and like problems, problems, problems. None of them were being solved or explained. And it was just like, okay. You know, the last scene was like, okay, I give up. I'll just be with Travis. Like, and then they end up just, you know, just partying in Vegas. And that's how they ended. It's like, what? What's...
Yeah.
What was the whole point? Was the whole point to have Abby let her guard down on Travis and have, like, a fun, crazy college life? Was that the whole point of the movie? Or was it to finally realize that Abby's father is never going to, you know, love her as a proper father and not, you know... will never be a good influence to her, and that's what she needed to realize. Like, what was the whole, you know, it was like, and I find it also very interesting of how fast Travis brought her to meet his family. And that was the way to reveal Abby's secret was in front of a poker table with his brothers. It was like, I don't know, it seemed like a more serious thing to open up to, right? But and much more like a personal thing. But instead, they were just playing poker. And it's not like Abby was being secretive about it. She was watching the brothers play, and she almost wanted to show off her skills. It didn't even seem like she missed the game, because she didn't. That's the whole point why she went to college. And then she's like, okay, you know what? Let me show these guys how good I am in poker. And then she does, and she's like, oh my god, how did you guys find out? And I'm like, bruh, like, of course they did.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the downfall of this movie is every time it tries to play up a, like, a very, like, climactic, like, tension-filled moment, like, dramatic, then it immediately just, like, cuts it out, like, cuts it off. And I think that's, like, so true with the poker scene. Where, like, it is revealed that she's, like, Lucky 13. Like, they're, like, building it up. And they're, like, the dad's, like, well, there was this little girl, and she was, like, a great poker player. But then her father went downhill, and he had to clean up all her messes. And then we, like, see Abby's face, and she's kind of, like, oh. And then, like, the older brother's, like, you must know her. Like, you were around the same age in Vegas. And then he, like, comes over, and he's, like, well, this is you in the article. Like, it made it seem like there was going to be something dramatic. And then all the guys are like, oh my God, I love you so much. Like, can I get a photo with you?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what? Like, where's the drama? Like,
yeah, I know, right?
I needed like some yelling. I needed like a dramatic, like she needed to like rush out of there and be like, oh my God, like, I can't believe you figured it out. Like, honestly, okay, I cannot believe this movie is making me defend After this much. But After at least delivers. Like, when there's a tense moment, it's dramatic. Like, they play on the drama so much. Whereas I feel like this movie was, like, every time they deliver drama, they were just like, actually, we're going to take it back. You saw it, but now we're going to take it back. So just kind of, like, those moments just felt so, like, kind of awkward when you were finished watching it. I also think part of that, though, is, again, it's been a hot minute since I've read the book, but I feel like it might be how directly this book was maybe adapted or this, how directly the book was adapted. So like in romance novels, there's lots of scenes that play out well on paper, but do not play out well on screen.
That's an interesting point you made. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, cause there's lots of things that you can write that just would never work in person.
Yeah.
And I think that scene could be one of those examples. Cause like, if you wrote that scene in a book, it would feel dramatic, right? Like it would feel dramatic to have her like be confronted. And like, especially if we can't see the point of view of like anyone else, if it's just her, And like, she might, like, her internal thoughts might be like, oh my gosh, like, they're going to find it out. Like, oh, they're going to be so mad. Like, what is Travis going to think? Like, the internal dialogue can like build up the tension of that moment. So it might play out better in a book. Whereas when you adapt something to a movie, unless you go in a very different format, you lose the like internal, like the thoughts of the character. And so you have to do a lot of extra work to build up tension and build up moments and scenes. And I think this is maybe an example. Again, it's been a while since I should have reread the book, but honestly, I did not feel that committed to it.
Yeah.
But I think this might be an example of where like, it was like the fact of how it was adapted, just like it didn't do it any favors.
Yeah. You know what? Mentioning the tension part, have you watched Breaking Bad?
I have not, no.
It's basically about this chemistry teacher becoming a drug dealer. And the reason why I mention it is because the buildup and the tension that was in that show of how people realized that he was a drug dealer was great. And I think if they did it like that in the movie, it would have been much better. Meaning everything, like the realization of her being a poker player, realizing that she is good at poker, and then the mentioning of the article was all in one scene within like 4 minutes. And instead, if it was in the beginning where, let's say, Travis and Abby was on a date and she had to run off because she had some errand she had to run, that was when she had to go to Vegas and or somewhere else to play poker for her dad. Mm-hmm. And then after all that, Travis hints like, oh, what's going on? And she keeps brushing it off. But one day, let's say Abby's taking a shower and Travis is cleaning up the room and he picks up her bag and like a poker chip falls off. And he's like, whoa, what's going on? Like, you know, that's how the tension should build up. And that's how I was expecting everyone to find out about Abby's secret, because that is her secret, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's somewhat ashamed of it and she doesn't want to go back to it. And the fact that she just like, she wasn't even hesitant at all almost when she was playing poker with him. Like, she brushed it off once, being like, oh, that's not my game. And then, you know, sooner or later, she's just on the table, just demolishing everyone. It's almost like she still enjoyed the feeling of beating people in poker. But I thought you were ashamed of it, you know, and that's why you came here to live a normal life. And you really thought that no one was going to find out. And it was, and then obviously the comedic aspect of all those brothers wanting an autograph and like a photo is good, but you know, it didn't seem like it went well with how serious that was to her and how serious I assumed it was to her until that happened. So, you know, comedy is always good in movies, but it really depends on where you put that comedy into, like what scene and what context it has.
Yeah, I completely agree with what you're saying. I like your point about how like they needed more like foreshadowing and hints for like Travis to follow for Abby's like past. Cause it's made relatively clear to us that her best friend knows about her past. So like Travis is the one who doesn't. And like they had opportunity to do that. Cause I think there's one moment where like, Abby and her best friend are like talking about her dad and like how like she can't go back to that, and like doing like they could have had Travis overhear part of that conversation.
Yeah.
And then be like, oh, that's, I wonder what's going on. And then like you're saying, like getting more hints, like having a poker chip fall out. But yeah, the fact that it's just like it's all just happens in one scene and then it's like over with, and Travis doesn't say anything. He's just like, oh, you're a poker player.
Yeah, he doesn't even question it.
Like, it's so, it's just so wild. I also just thought of this, like, your comment earlier about how, like, Travis is like, oh, he just made out to be this, like, bad dude, and, like, I can't be with a guy like that. But it's never, like, made kind of clear of, like, what's wrong. Like, he's just, like, kind of played out of, like, oh, he's the quintessential bad guy. Or bad boy. Not bad guy. Bad boy. But I think that would have actually been like better if you were to just throw away the whole thing and rewrite it. If he was a poker player, because then it would be like Abby actually falling for someone
that's
so reflective of her past versus like him fighting, she just connects that to be like, oh, like my dad was a poker player and he's bad, and so Travis fighting is bad, and you're just like, but what's the connection?
Oh my god, yeah, that's an amazing idea, how she's not with Travis because he's a poker. That's like a great idea. For me, what I was thinking right now was, it didn't make sense, like the trope of, oh, that innocent girl falling for that bad boy, like that doesn't connect at all in this movie, because
yeah,
we can make an argument that Abby's more badass than who is it? What was his name? Than
Travis,
way more. She's been playing poker since she was less than 13, and making thousands of dollars in Vegas illegally. Yeah. And Travis, a college student, paying his tuition by just fighting in like an underground mysterious place. Like, who is the badass? You know, and like, it just didn't make sense, because you could tell that the whole movie was revolving around this really nice girl who wants to change her life and is, you know, unfortunately falls for like this bad dude who isn't even that bad. He's just a normal he's just a normal guy. So it's that, from then on, it was like, okay, yeah, this is kind of funny, you know, who's falling for who, really. Right.
Yeah.
And it's not like Abby didn't even, you know, it'd be kind of cool if it was the reverse, how Abby's the one brushing Travis off and Travis is the one trying to get to her. But, you know, Abby's like, oh, you don't even know the half of who I am. And Travis is like, oh, no, I love you, I love you. And then as soon as Travis realizes, that's when the conflict hits. But then by that time, Abby fell in love with Travis, too. So, you know, that dynamic would have been so much more realistic too, right? And you know,
yeah,
compared to how she's fallen for this supposedly bad dude that's a terrible influence to her, yet it seems like she could be a very, very dangerous influence to Travis, from how much you know, how many things she could bring up into not only their relationship but then the life, because they have a lot of, you know, Abby has a lot of, you know, real problems in the real world that could possibly hit her, you know, sooner or later within her life, because, you know, poker is not a playful thing, you know. There's a lot of money in it, and she's doing it illegally too, so she's technically a criminal. It's very funny.
I don't know. Also, I've never been to Vegas, but I've been to casinos in Alberta, and you get ID'd right when you walk in the door. Like, that's like, and I know that casinos are a little bit different in Vegas, because I think you can technically walk through them if you're underage, but you have to like stay on the carpet. But I don't know. That's just to say that I feel like it's pretty far-fetched that she got away with it for like that long. Again, I'm not an expert on Vegas, but yeah, I really think that like having that aspect of the relate, like, having like an actual legitimate reason connected to her past why she doesn't want to be with Travis would have like made more sense. Like, so an example, I do not want to use this movie, but I watched it the same day I watched this movie. It's on Prime Video. It's called My Fault, and it's actually a Spanish movie.
I've heard of it.
And it's based on a Wattpad book, I think. So obviously, like, same type of drama as, like, After and this movie. But I don't really want to use it, because I just want to point out that I do not like the age gap in the relationship. But one thing they did do in the, like, the movie for the context is that, so this is a spoiler if you're going to watch it, but it's not a big spoiler.
Yeah.
But the main character, her father was abusive. And so she like starts to fall for this like forbidden guy. And the reason she doesn't want to be with him is because he fights. So she connects that violence to violence that she experienced as a kid. So that's an actual like tension aspect to their relationship. So it actually contributes to her dilemma of like having feelings for this person, let alone it's a forbidden because of whatever, all of the things. But also in addition, her feelings about like what he does, as part of his life, like she doesn't condone it, but she very like clearly doesn't condone it. Whereas like we're just supposed to believe that Abby doesn't condone his fighting, but she does nothing to portray that she doesn't condone him fighting. So it's, yeah, I don't know. That was just another example that I want to throw out of, like, actually using, like, you know, an experience in the past to, like, inform tension and drama in the present.
It's almost like the only reason why she fell in love with him was because he was fighting, right?
Yeah.
It's like that first scene just shows you, you know, that physical appeal and how, you know, like, rugged and how tough he is. And that was the initial attraction that she had with Travis. And from then on, Travis didn't show any other side of him that made Abby, you know, like him. Like, if you think about it,
yeah,
you know, it's not like Travis had this really deep goal that he was trying to go for, and, you know, fighting to pay his tuition was the only way to do it. But in reality, he was trying to achieve something greater. And for people who only look at him in the cage might, you know, say that he's just a dude that likes to fight. But for people he really, really knows, like, intimately, personally, he's not like that at all. You know, he has more, he has deeper thoughts and what he wants to do. And, you know, maybe his mother could have been an influence on why he does what he, you know, what he does. And it's not like Abby fell in love with that. It's just like, he just fights. And Abby's just fighting the urge to not be with him, but later fails because of her own, you know, her own ability to not resist him. Like, it's kind of weird because there's no shifting point in the movie where each character shows a specific side of them that makes them fall in love with each other. It's like Travis too. He's liking the chase, you know, he likes that idea of, oh, she's hard to get, you know, and I'm going to keep trying and let's see what happens. You know, in the date, it shows it. Like, that was really funny to me, by the way. Just the fact that, oh, dinner's over and she just leaves. It's like, what?
Yeah.
That was funny. But, you know, that scene just shows you, okay, Travis is, he's going to keep coming and he'll get it.
Yeah.
But it's a very weird way to show that. Because, you know, it's obvious that romance is one of the biggest ideas that this movie was going for. But there was nothing supporting it. Or there's no step-by-step, like, sequence that was going through the movie that was leading on to that point. It's almost like the first love happened in the beginning of the movie, and later on, it was just whoever was gonna just act on it. It was weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this movie hinges, like, 1,000% on sexual attraction and nothing else. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Which is just, that's not the point of a romance movie. Like, it's just, it's so pointless. And I will say, like, your point about how, like, there's nothing about their characters that shows, like, how they bond or connect over, like, some other aspect. Or, like, you know, talk to each other and, like, get to know each other's personalities and then be like, oh, I really like your personality, or your hobbies or something like that. And I think, like, the only scene that's, like, decent in this movie is, like, the montage of when they're, like, living together.
Yeah.
Because that's the only time they're shown to, like, spend time together. Like, Travis is trying to teach her how to fight, but she's, like, very bad at it and just laughs the whole time. That's kind of cute, right?
That
and
is.
Then you have, I don't know, them studying together, right? And, like, just obviously it's a montage, so there's a bunch of things I don't remember. But the fact that it's a montage, it doesn't help us as the watcher to really, or the viewer to, like, see them grow together, because it's just, like, short little clips and we're just supposed to believe that it happened over however many days it is until the last day. It just, I don't know. It just doesn't make too sense. I also just realized that I don't think there's a single scene with Travis in this movie without Abby, like, until she, like, runs away. But we never ever get, like, Travis interacting with, like, someone else, either not talking about Abby or just, like, I don't know. So, like, that's kind of also weird. Like, he's never, like, just talking to his friend or something, like, where we get to know like, he's almost like, I don't know. He kind of reads me as like, he's a very flat character. Like, he's just like, he's a bad boy fighter and he's a playboy. That's his character.
Yeah.
And
no,
then he falls in love with Abby.
He is flat because there's no other side that we see about him. He's just a guy that fights and likes Abby. There's zero context on who he is as a person, how he got to be who he is now, his family, or even his brothers, like the relationship between them, how strong their bond is, how big of an influence his father was to him. Zero. And they're eating KFC at the dinner table and just talking. Like, what is, there's nothing, you know? It's not like, I mean, even the KFC too, right? Nothing wrong with KFC, but if it was like, because the beginning of the scene, they were all fighting and you could see that when the father came in, they all, you know, listened to him. There was just some sort of level of respect that they all had to their father. And, mm-hmm. you know, having like a home cooked meal, you know, and the father and all the brothers helping out and, you know, even saying grace, you know, they could have done it in a more, I guess, more of like a home-like environment, right? Instead of just like a bar where they just have a KFC and some beers, right? Even the way they even made that scene, it seemed like there was a lot missing. And maybe that could have been an influence on how, you know, having no mother figure could have been some sort of like effect on that. But it was, again, the only problem with this movie, which basically makes or breaks a movie, is the amount of context that was given in the characters and their background. You can't really sit back and relax unless you just want to look at this movie as a comedy, because that's basically how you're supposed to look at it if you really want to just enjoy the movie. If you want to go deeper into the chemistry of the characters and understand why certain scenes were put in, you're going to have a huge headache after this movie because none of that is explained. You kind of just have to assume.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, your point about the Kentucky, like, it's such a small part, like a very small problem with the film, but no one just goes to KFC and just buys one bucket of chicken.
For like, what, six guys? I'm like, whoa, what?
Yeah. I'm sorry. So where's the french fries? Where's the gravy? Where's your plate? They just plop a bucket down and they're like, oh, eat up. And I'm just like, this is too much for me.
Yeah,
this
it was.
Like, there are plenty of men out there who grew up without mothers that can do better than that.
Yeah, definitely. That dinner scene should have been made more like a home, right? Maybe it could have been a turning point for Abby. Like, oh, maybe, you know, I should go back to my dad. You know, this is what I've been missing. You know, home is like this and this is what families are for. And that might have been, you know, the turning point of her texting her dad instead of her being just flat out drunk and just, you know, because she was drunk when she texted her dad. It's like, why couldn't it have been this? This was the reason why she reached back out to her dad, right? It was handled pretty, you know, I keep saying weird, but that's the only word I could actually find. It was very awkward and weird of how they did this.
Yeah, and not weird in a good way, because weird is cool.
Yeah.
Like bad weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also can't think of a better word, but yeah. Maybe it was just an ad for KFC. Like, maybe KFC was a sponsor of this movie, and
was
just an ad for KFC.
That's insane.
Why else would you do that? Like,
that's true.
So weird.
Yeah. No, that's insane if that was the reason why.
Like, not only did they just, like, plop it down, then they started talking about it. The guy's like, you ever had fried chicken from Kentucky?
Yeah,
like,
I know.
It's so weird.
That is basically it for our discussion. We could go on for like another hour on what, you know, what we find about this movie. You know what? For those of you who are interested in it, go watch the movie. I think it's on Amazon Prime. So, you know, go and watch it and see how you like it. I mean, some people might like it. Some people might find it a bit hard to understand. Because that's what it is. It's really hard to understand. Anyways, should we finish off with maybe you giving us an overview maybe about what you're thinking of in the future? Any plans you have maybe? Or you're just still figuring it out?
Yeah, I'm happy to. I am definitely still figuring it out. The job market out here is hard for an arts undergrad, like just an arts degree. I will say that Bachelor of Arts, love it, but also jobs are hard. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a minefield applying for jobs, especially like in Alberta right now. I mean, I can't speak for the whole, you know, country of Canada and all the other provinces, but it has definitely been interesting, an experience that I wasn't super like, I guess, like prepped for. I will say, like, right off the bat, if you are in your last year, I don't know if UBC actually has like good career services, because I never got around to using them, which is my own fault. But definitely, like, you know, get the help that you can on your resume, get them to like assist you writing a cover letter. It saves you time trying to figure out how to do it in your room on Google. But don't worry, you can still do that. That's what I did. But yeah, I'm sort of also right now, I'm just like debating the future of like pursuing a master's possibly, which I would most likely pursue in public policy. So I'm still in kind of the stages of like, you know, investigating that, figuring out which program I want to go to, and then just sorting out, getting like recommendations and working on the application. So yeah, it definitely, it's kind of been an interesting last few months. And I think most recent grads can kind of testify that that's the experience, unless you graduate with a job, which congratulations to all those people. I'm very happy that you have healthcare.
Yeah, no, I talked to a lot of people who have recently graduated, or even professors, and you know, getting a job is no joke. It's super, mm-hmm. super difficult, and you really feel stuck sometimes. You know, even for me, when I was, you know, even getting like summer jobs or volunteer, it's really, really difficult. And it's kind of awkward sometimes too, because not all the time you have all these things in your resume, and you kind of have to work with what you have. And mm-hmm. getting those opportunities in university and all those things that are offered, you know, like Randy said, don't take it for granted. Try to use up as much as you can. I definitely am trying to look for some other things to do. And I really hope that it all goes well for you too.
Thank you. Yeah, definitely. The one piece of advice I have is just, even if you're not a business student, we all need to get better at networking.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes.
I wish that I didn't have to understand corporate culture. But I think that's kind of the world right now. So take advantage of those things. I know as an art student, I was kind of like, oh, it's just for business students. It's not. It's for everybody.
Yeah, that's one of the most valuable skills you can learn, how to deal with people, how to talk with them. Yeah. All right. Well, it's always a pleasure to have you on my show. Always a very, very interesting discussion we have with movies. I'd say you're my favorite person to discuss movies about, because you do go into very good detail, and it makes me get think about, you know, certain things when I'm watching a movie. So thank you so much for coming on my show. You are more than welcome to come back again, and I hope you have a lovely day.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
Awesome.
Okay,
bye. Bye-bye. All right. That was Randy. She's absolutely amazing. She knows a lot about, you know, books. I mean, she reads a lot of books. She has very, very interesting insight on movies and other topics as well. So, you know, thank you again, Randy, for coming out. My name is Jeff. This is it for my episode today. I hope everyone has a wonderful rest of the day. You know, I think third week has started for school. Good luck, everyone. Assignments and homework assignments are coming in. Midterms will be coming soon. Good luck, everyone. You guys can all do it. Let's do it, guys. Come on. Have a lovely day, everyone. Bye-bye.